This is the Woodland Hills Family Church Podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now, enjoy today's message with Travis Bronner.
And so it is a new year. Any New Year's resolutions? None that you want to admit? All right, well, you're only 3 days in. Hopefully, you're staying strong. I don't do New Year's resolutions, but I am a planner. Any planners out there? Okay. Any of you still do the paper calendar at the first of the year and you're excited because you got your new 2021 calendar? Okay. And then some of you are just more of a fly by the seat of your pants, free spirited. We're going to see what happens. How about you? Okay. And some of you from that group like to mess with some of those of us that are planners, don't you? You like to see our plans and you like to change things a little bit just to mess with us because you think it's pretty funny. You like to do that, don't you? Stop it. It's not funny. We work hard on our plans. But I'm a planner. I'm the five-year plan guy. I'm also a five-year plan guy. And then in 2020, had to throw that out the window, didn't we? It's like maybe 5 weeks, even sometimes 5 days, we're planning in 2020, right? And 2020 taught us that. Planners, listen to me. No, listen to the Lord from Proverbs 16:9. Says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. We can plan as well as we can, think we have everything laid out just like it should be, but we know that the Lord is the one that's going to establish our steps. I think about the only predictable thing that happened in 2020 was the return of the McRib sandwich. You can always count on it, right? Who doesn't like change? Okay, there's kind of the same group as the planners, maybe, but that can be a little bit different. I like to plan, but I don't mind change. I think sometimes change is good. So I plan. I like to plan. I don't mind change as long as I get to plan the change that's going to happen, right? And the thing is, like change or not, change is imminent, which means it's bound to happen. It's going to happen at any time. Sometimes small change, sometimes big change, sometimes a little bit at a time, and then sometimes all at once. Like if you think about 5 years ago, 10 years ago, excluding pandemic, of course, what your life looked like then and what it looks like now and the change that just slowly can happen. You may have even lived somewhere different. Your job probably looked different even if you're in the same job. Could look different if you have kids. Your kids are a different age, so their life and therefore your life looks different. Your marriage looked different. Things happen over time. And it may be slow change, or it may be like 2020, throwing a lot of change at everybody all at once. And sometimes you individually, there's some big change that was separate from the pandemic. And maybe there was some big change that happened all at once. But the fact is, change is imminent. If you have your Bibles, open up to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, or on your app, or you can follow it up on the screen. And we're going to read from King Solomon. And these lessons learned, we're turning to Solomon a lot in his writings because he was one of the wisest men to ever lived. And so we have a lot of lessons to learn from Solomon. But in chapter 3, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting in verse 1, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." Very repetitive, right? So what we're seeing from Solomon here is this literary technique that's really driving a point home. He listed a lot of things. He could have listed a lot more things. But in the number of things that he listed, what he's saying basically is every human activity under the sun is going to change. Change is imminent. There's a time for everything, even the McRib sandwich, but for a limited time only. Change is imminent. And so as we look at lessons learned, the lesson that we're looking at today is this. Change is imminent, so be adaptable. We must be adaptable. Change is imminent, so be adaptable. In 2020, a lot of us had to make a lot of adaptations, didn't we? Our school looked different. We had to adapt in the way that we do school. Some private schools even closed. Some schools met full-time but still had to distance and wear masks and things like that. Some met part-time. Some moved to homeschooling. We've homeschooled for about 9 years now, and this shows me how backwards 2020 was, because now in 2020, the homeschoolers and infectious disease doctors are the cool kids, right? Everybody's looking to them for, what do we do? But we had to make adaptations at church, so the way that we've gathered looks very different, and it looked different along the way. And we talk kind of like this is in the past, but a lot of these things, this is still going on, right? Like I said, we didn't change the calendar and change the world. The way we do business, Zoom meetings and remotely and everything else, entertainment for those of you that deliver it and those of us that consume it, it's very different. A lot of streaming and virtual sports has looked very different. We can now participate in activities face-to-face this close to one another for 2 hours, but then we can't shake hands afterwards. That's what we do. Meals look different. Right? Restaurants look different. The way that we eat out, very different. We had to adapt. And then holidays and traditions. Speaking of people that don't like change, how was your Christmas? Lots of traditions that we had to adapt because of the changes of 2020. And as we think about adapting, we know that it's important because adaptability, one of the reasons is adaptability makes for sustainability. Another word you could use here is survival. Adaptability makes for survival. And I think of some different groups or organizations or people specifically throughout this past year that had to adapt to survive. One in particular is Kanakuk Camp, that our friends Joe White and Doug Goodwin and the whole team over at camp, they were facing the possibility of not being able to open for the summer. And for them, if they couldn't open for the summer, it may mean that they close their gates forever. And so adaptability makes for sustainability. So they got with the health officials and the governor and the Taney County and Stone County officials, and what can we do? We want to adapt, and their plans were blessed by them, and so they moved forward. They adapted, and therefore they sustained. Was it the best year ever? Probably not in several aspects, but you know what? They sustained. They'll be here next year. Camp will be around in 2021. Many shows and attractions coming into the pandemic and hearing that we got to limit our admissions and we have to put people so far apart, we have to wear masks, and all these limitations. And the question arose, is it even worth doing? And the answer to that question was yes, because adaptability makes for sustainability. Again, maybe not the best financial year for a lot of people, but you know what? Those people that adapted sustained and will be around for this next season that's upon us. And as things get better, they're still here. Our church, Woodland Hills Family Church, we had to adapt in order to sustain. Now we know that the global church, the collective body of believers in Christ, that nothing can destroy that. Nothing. But your local church, your church family here, Woodland Hills Family Church, the facility and the way that we meet, had to adapt in order to be sustainable. If Ted and the rest of the staff weren't adaptable in the way that we do things, then the doors would possibly be closed. Adaptability makes for sustainability. We had some restaurants that put in a drive-through, some that took on some delivery options and different things. We know some things about the panda bear. Number one, it is a bear. For those of you that have been in the debate about whether it's more like a raccoon or a bear, most of you probably didn't know that was a debate. But the panda is a bear based on molecular studies. So we know a few things about the panda bear. Number one, it eats 20 to 50, an individual bear eats 20 to 50 pounds of bamboo a day. 99% of its diet is bamboo. And if it can't get its bamboo, it will die. It can't sustain on the 1% of the rest of its diet. It can't be sustained that way. The other thing we know about panda bears is that they're endangered, right? We've known that all of our lifetime, panda bears have been endangered because they can only sustain on bamboo. Contrast that to the grizzly bear. The grizzly bear is not endangered. It's protected, but it's not endangered. But as a matter of fact, in some parts of the world, there are hunting seasons to control the populations of the grizzly bear. And what will the grizzly eat? Grass, roots, berries, fish, small wildlife, roadkill, human garbage, and of course the occasional tourist. So be careful out there. So contrast that. The panda bear that says, if I can't have my bamboo, I'm going to lay down and die. or the grizzly bear that says, what's that, dead possum? I'll eat it. Right? The attitude between the two, right? So the point here is, for the sake of your organization, of your business, of your school, of your child's education, of your family, of your ministry, of your church, for the sake of all of these things, we must all learn to eat tourists. Like the grizzly. We've got a lot of them, right? No, we must all learn to be adaptable. We must all learn to be adaptable. And the important thing is that the attitude with which we adapt matters. I don't imagine that a grizzly bear, when eating a dead possum, thinks, gosh, I'd really rather have some fresh Alaskan salmon. No, it's thankful that it has something to eat, and it's going to adapt to that. It's going to eat it and survive. And in 2020, a lot of us have had some roadkill thrown our way, haven't we? It's been a rough year for many different reasons. And so the question is, what was your attitude? What is your attitude? Again, we're still in the midst of some things. What is your attitude as you have roadkill presented to you, as your only means to sustain? Is it, I can't do this. These adaptations that I've had to make, the way that we're doing things, I just can't do it. Or is it, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. He has given me a means to adapt, to sustain. I can survive, to do ministry another day, to do school another day, for my family another day, for business another day, all of these things. The attitude with which we adapt matters. In my residency training for ear, nose, and throat in Oklahoma City, occasionally we would have organizations or companies that would bring in free lunch for the department. And I had a friend, Cope Norcross, that would always get exasperated by people that would complain about the quality of their free food that they were eating. And he would say, the only thing you should ever say about the quality of food you didn't pay for is, wow, this food tastes so free. That's it, right? Should be grateful for the things that are provided to us. And we don't pout because we can't have our bamboo, but we're grateful because we're given a means to sustain. Praise the Lord, he has provided. I think of the Israelites in the Old Covenant, God's people, that were in captivity in Egypt, and they were slaves to the Egyptians. And God delivered them from their slavery, and they were in the desert for 40 years wandering until eventually he delivered them to their promised land. And their promised land was a place where they would have everything that they need and everything that they want. Now, after they were freed from slavery in their desert wandering, it was less than 2 months in that they ran out of food. And the Israelites, the people started to complain to Moses and Aaron that were leading them at the time. They said, why did you bring us out here? We would rather have died at the hand of the Egyptians rather than starve to death. And the words they use in Scripture are actually, we would rather be back by the pot of meat rather than out here starving to death, even if we would have died at the hands of the Egyptians. And then we read in Exodus chapter 16, verse 4 and verse 35, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I might test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. He gave them specific rules about how they're to gather this bread that he was to give them. And then in verse 35, we read, the people of Israel ate the manna 40 years. 40 years. Makes 2020 not seem so long. Until they came to a habitable land, to where they had everything that they need and everything that they want. Followers of Jesus, we are God's people in the new covenant. Our time on earth is our desert wandering. And we have a promised land, but that promised land is in heaven. And while we're here on earth in our desert wandering amidst change and struggles and trials, God is providing manna with which we can adapt. He's providing for us. One day we'll be in our promised land in heaven where we'll have everything we want and everything we need. But for now, this is our desert wandering, and he is giving us means to sustain. And we have to be careful about the attitude with which we adapt. Because as the Lord is providing us manna, we may look around at others, because the manna isn't going to be the same for everybody. We're not promised anything this side of heaven. And so you may look at your neighbor, the other businesses in town, the other shows, the other attractions, other schools, other students, other whatever is going on. You may say, I wish the Lord provided the manna for me that he's providing for them. No, We don't complain because we can't have bamboo. We're thankful for that which the Lord provides. Don't dwell on the manna of others. Have you ever been in a groove before? You know what I mean? Like everything's going well. It hardly even requires any effort. And I'm talking about everything, in your marriage, in your job, in your parenting, at work, at school, at church, anything you're doing. You feel like just things are in a groove. And I get an idea of this picture, this kind of a road, where the wheels have worn these grooves in the road, that it's almost like an amusement park ride that you don't even have to really steer, right? You just push the gas and you go, and there's not much effort required. You feel like you're in a groove. Have you ever felt in a groove, and then suddenly you had to adapt, like things were going really well? Like we were in a groove here at Woodland Hills. The church was growing. We were doing ministry. Influence was expanding. And then the pandemic hit, and things had to change, and we had to adapt. And I would say because of the adaptation, because of the faithfulness of the staff, that we're still in a groove. It's a different kind of a groove, but we were knocked out of the groove that we were in. Maybe in your job, your work, you were in a groove. Things were going well, upward trajectory. You were getting raises. You were growing with the company. Things were happening, and then you got knocked off for some reason, either pandemic or otherwise. Some of you are retired. And we think of the retirement years generally as a time when things settle down and not much changes and things run smoothly, right? And some of you retirees would tell us that that's not the case. When I tell you retirement, when I say the word retirement, generally what age do you think in your head? There's an age that most of us think when we think about retirement. We think of 65, right? That's just kind of the number that comes to your mind. So the most common causes of death and disability in the United States are heart disease and cancer. And so look at this. The average age of first heart attack in males, keep in mind the retirement age, average age of first heart attack in males is 65, and in females is 70. Average age of diagnosis of cancer, males and females together, the average age range, the diagnosis of cancer is 65 to 74. Retirement is not necessarily smooth sailing, right? Some of you have had tsunamis of change thrown your way in your retirement. A spouse that passed away, a spouse that got a diagnosis, you got a diagnosis, a child that got a diagnosis, things that have happened that have really thrown you out of your groove. And we got to remember with this too, the pandemic is not the only thing that happened in 2020. People faced all kinds of change, with house or car problems, with a rough patch in a marriage, other relationships, a friend that betrayed you. Infertility, the list goes on, things that can throw you out of a groove that you feel like you're in. And you can become frustrated in that. You may even become frustrated with God, saying, Lord, you blessed this. I know you did. This groove that I was in. I know you brought me here. Why did you knock me out of this groove? You can become frustrated. Now, I want to turn to an account in Scripture that if you've been in church long, you've heard or you've read it, that tells us something similar. In Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 22, one day he is Jesus, got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, let us go across to the other side of the lake. So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was calm. Let's talk about this for a minute, the situation. You see, the Lord told them, let's get in this boat and we're going to go. He called them to this, right? And I picture the scene as the storm comes up. You may have seen a movie with a similar scene on a boat that's about to sink because of a storm. But I also think of a movie scene, the feeling that I get when I'm reading the situation where someone's in some type of an encasement that's filling up the water. And there's a hatch that they can't quite get open, and the water's getting higher and higher. And as you're watching, you're kind of feeling yourself short of breath because of the situation. And then the hatch opens, and you take a deep breath with them. Like the situation is better. The situation is calm. The person is calm. You're calm. That's the type of scenario that I picture here. And when we read that Jesus rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and there was calm. There are two things that were calm, I believe. One is the weather. The other is the disciples. They calmed down when the storm calmed down, right? But look at what happens next. He said to them, Jesus said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid. And they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him?" Look at that question that Jesus asked. Where is your faith? He's implying they didn't have faith when the storm was whipping up. You see, they were adapting, no doubt. Remember, there were a few fishermen on this boat that are used to waters and used to storms, most likely, and they probably adapted. I doubt that they went and they woke Jesus right away, changed their sails, changed their course, started bailing water out probably with buckets as it started filling up the boat. They were adapting, but they didn't have faith. Their calm only came when the Lord settled the storm. So what do we know from this? The key to adapting to your circumstances is to first trust the Lord. See, I should first trust the Lord before, during, and after a storm. I should first trust the Lord before, during, and after change. I should trust the Lord before, during, and after I'm making adaptations. You see, because the calm shouldn't come because the storm gets settled. The calm in me should come because I'm in the boat with the one who commands the winds and the water, not because of my circumstances. The key to adapting to your circumstances is to first trust the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." What does that mean, he will make straight your paths? Well, first of all, proverbs are generalizations, they're not promises, but he will make straight your paths. What does that look like for him to make straight your path? Because oftentimes we come upon a path that looks like this in our life. We're faced with change, right? We've been, maybe this road had ruts in it, and suddenly we've got to choose, and we're faced with some change. So what does a straight path look like? Well, we could come to this, and we could say, okay, I've got three options here, this, this, or this. This one makes the most sense. It's the most logical. It stands to give me the best outcome that I want. That's the path I'm going to take. That's one option. But that's not what the Lord desires for our approach. We read in James 4, starting in verse 13, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills." If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or do that. So there's our other approach as we stand at a split in the road. We seek the Lord's will. And that can be hard, can't it? Trying to seek the Lord's will, trying to understand what the will of the Lord is and the decisions that we're making as we're faced with changes and we need to adapt. If you're like me, you wish you could get an email. "Dear Travis, this is what I want you to do. Sincerely, the Lord," right? That would be nice, but that's not the case. So how do we go about seeking the Lord's will? Well, first of all, as we stand at the road facing change, we filter it through Scripture. There are a lot of scenarios through Scripture that the Bible directly addresses that says you should do this, you shouldn't do that. So we seek wisdom through Scripture. We take it to the Lord in prayer. We seek guidance from the Holy Spirit. We pray, "Lord, move in me through your Holy Spirit to prompt me what the right thing to do is." Which, by the way, if you feel like the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do something that goes against Scripture, then it's not the Holy Spirit. So it's important, the order of things that we filter through, right? And then after that, we seek counsel from those around us that we know to be wise. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." And in that, we seek the Lord's will. We're seeking God's will. And sometimes we stand at that split in the road and we hesitate because I don't want to make the wrong decision, right? But when we seek the Lord's will, he will make straight your path. So whatever path you choose, if you're seeking the Lord's will, it's the right path. Now, the outcome may not be desirable. There may be a storm right on the other side of that decision. You may get into a rut in that path and immediately get knocked off of it. That doesn't mean that you are not in the Lord's will. You seek the Lord's will. You trust in him before, during, and after a storm, before, during, and after a decision that's made, seeking his will. And that can be hard, and we have to trust in him. Sometimes we can get a little bit paralyzed even trying to make a decision. Like, how should I adapt to this situation? What is the right answer for what I'm dealing with? And we seek the Lord's will, and still we have a hard time making a decision. Well, in surgery, there's always an operative plan. When we do an operation, there is an objective, the main thing we're trying to accomplish, there are steps to take, there is anatomy to understand, and there are potential problems that we could need to adapt to. Every operation, small or big, that's the plan. And in my residency, so when a resident is being trained in surgical procedures, you're given a little more leeway to do operations as you've shown competency in other operations, okay? Some of you don't want to hear this. So you're given a little more leeway in the operation with your attending physician practically hands on yours to begin with and slowly allowing you to do the procedure as clearly you become competent at it. Well, remember, part of the surgical plan is adapting to changes that take place. And I can distinctly remember in my residency with Dr. Barry Hill, who was the ear surgeon, one of the ear surgeons that I trained under, be sitting there together under the microscope operating in the ear. And something changed. And an adaptation had to be made. And there's anxiety in that as a young surgeon. And I could always feel the anxiety, and I know Dr. Berryhill could too, when a situation came up. And he would always gently say, "Dr. Bronner, you're doing fine." He said, "Don't worry, I won't let you mess anything up that I can't fix." It's soothing for the surgeon, not for the patient, okay? But he said, "I won't let you mess anything up that I can't fix." And that's us standing at the crossroads, making a decision, seeking the Lord's will, but I don't want to decide the wrong thing. But if you are in the Lord's will, follower of Jesus, you won't mess anything up that he can't fix. His fix may be different than your idea of fix, too. So you got to be careful, because his fix may not be comfort for you. It may not be steak and potatoes. It may be roadkill still. His fix may be very different from yours, but you're not going to mess anything up that he can't fix. Make the decision, seek the Lord's will, and make the decision. Now, as we're talking about adapting, I want to say briefly, but very importantly, that follower of Jesus, you should adapt to your circumstances as you remain rigid in your essential beliefs. Rigid. When you think of rigid, you think of the spine. The essential beliefs are the backbone of our Christian faith. And as the world around us is wanting us to adapt to their way of thinking, their way of speaking, their way of acting, we remain rigid in our essential beliefs. Don't be so flexible that you lose your spine, follower of Jesus. And to close, I want to walk through, practically speaking, what this looks like. As we say, change is imminent, so be adaptable. Change is imminent, be adaptable. We make our plans as unto the Lord, seeking his will. And as change is presented, we get knocked out of a groove. Change is presented. And we first trust the Lord before, during, and after. And then we consider the options. We say, which is the right path for me to take in this decision that I have to make? We seek the Lord's will through Scripture, through prayer, asking guidance from the Holy Spirit, and seeking the counsel of others. And then we decide. We decide, having faith and having calm, because we're in the boat with the one who commands the winds and the waves. The storm may not settle, but we can remain calm, knowing that we have sought his will. And then on the other side of it, if it turns out well, great, praise the Lord. If it doesn't turn out that great, then you lay down and pout and want your bamboo. No, praise the Lord, because he's given you something to sustain you. He has provided a means to sustain you. And the last thing is heads up, because the next change is right around the corner. I pray that 2021 is better for all of us, but we have no certainty in that. We have faith. We trust in the Lord before, during, and after everything that we do. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We're grateful for the year 2020. We're grateful that it's over. And we pray for 2021, most of all, Lord, not for prosperity or for good times or for comfort mostly, Lord. We pray for the calm and the comfort that you bring to us through first placing faith in you. And we know that you are the one that commands the winds and the waves, and that you can do that for us, Father. We pray for those who have not placed faith in you, that, Lord, that they would see the truth from your Scripture and your world and your people and understand and make a decision to follow you, to confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that you raised him from the dead, Lord. We pray for our church family and for the year ahead, Father. And we thank you and praise you and bless you in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed and said,